Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Friday.
Man.
As we transition back to something,
yeah,
back, you know.
Yeah, that was
a little more serious.
But, I mean, that's crazy, man. Because you know what? We get paid to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing.
We get paid.
It's the best thing ever.
And, you know, I've said some things, you said some things that, you know, the ultimate approval of if it's disappointing is Wendy's face.
Yep.
And her face was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. The more Wendy shakes her head as she leaves the studio after the Wendy Zone, the better the Wendy Zone tends
to be.
It
usually is, yeah, because we didn't say some stuff that we had. We just had some stuff, but it's Friday.
It's Friday. It's about to be Christmas next week.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot going on. Now, Wendy will be back with us in about 40 minutes for Sports Jeopardy.
So get your questions in.
We need trivia questions.
She's coming back.
Sports Jeopardy is canceled. There will be no Steph Curry questions. I guarantee you that. Or unless you want to throw one out there, maybe that'll be the answer to one of the questions. I don't know.
Don't do it.
Sports Jeopardy 40 minutes from now. We do need sports trivia questions at Wendy Radio on Twitter or Instagram. Send a direct message. Make sure you send the answer and leave it at that. Nothing else needs to be said, especially nothing creepy. We'll get to the lunchtime Falcon report coming up in 20 minutes. Some keys to a Falcons victory as the Falcons take on the Jaguars this weekend. What?
These are the times that you wish the producers' mics were on. And by the way, we are working on it.
We're working on it.
Wendy, how y'all just sit up here talking about news, but then say, don't say nothing creepy?
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I have no real retort to any of that. We're allowed to be creepy.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
It's called Andy and Randy.
That's
show.
It. I mean, that's the reason why.
You could be creepy too, just not to Wendy.
Yeah.
That was why, because we weren't being creepy towards you. Right?
No. How are we being creepy when we're just telling you? Like, we send naked pictures to our wife, sometimes with the side view. It's a problem.
There's no problem. There's no problem.
For better or worse.
Till death do us part. Exactly right. Let's do this thing.
He saves you a lot. You can really trust Matt and just go in and get the ball because he's definitely going to stop you and slow you down from defenders. Because when you get your eyes back to him and trying to find the ball, like, you lose track of defenders. So what I would say is, like, his precision to put the ball on your left side or the right side or low or high or whatever to keep you away from defenders.
So that's Julio Jones. By the way, this is the Braxton Big Clip of the Day brought to you by Braxton Automotive. For more info, go to BraxtonAutomotive.com. Julio Jones just talking about his relationship with Matt Ryan and the way they work together and all of that. Julio, over 1,000 yards again after the crazy game that he had last week. 1,150 yards, 6 receiving touchdowns. Now, he's got a streak going of seasons with 1,400 yards or more. 250 yards away from that. You think Julio gets 250 yards receiving in the next two games? I think he can.
He can. I think it, probably because you look at what's going to go down in Tampa, they're going to have to score points in Tampa. You're going to have to score some points, so I expect some big yards being put up. So, yeah, I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I would love to see it. Matt Ryan, what did you say, Wendy, about 120 yards away from 4,000 again? So that would be he's 213 yards away from 4,000.
8, 9 years in a row? 10? How many years is that in a row?
I think it's 10.
Wow.
So another record in reach for him. But again, like, the bottom line of the season is the record, and that's frustrating. It's going to be nice for these guys. It'll be his ninth straight season. That's pretty incredible. And you know, I'm sure they have incentives that they'll hit by getting to those numbers and all that stuff, which is nice for them individually. Other guys probably are going to be able to hit some individual numbers as well. Grady Jarrett named to the Pro Bowl earlier this week. That's probably awesome. Something in his contract that he gets a little bit more money for. But the bad part is, no matter what, even if they win these final two games, they're only 7-9. And that makes them 7-9 for the second consecutive season, which gets us back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, Randy, which is it enough?
Yeah.
Is 7-9 enough? Now it would be 6-2 in the second half of the year, but is that enough for Arthur Blank to sit there at the end of the year and say to himself, oh, give it another go with Dan Quinn. We're going to give him another shot at this thing.
Dude, it's because it seems like Andy, I'm not on that side of, they need to bring him back. But I'm like on the side, I won't be mad if they do. But now I'm getting to the point where I won't be surprised if they do. But somebody got to go. There needs to be one less employee somewhere on the second floor. Somebody's got to, because you can't bring everybody back and think just because you made a mid-season coach change. Now, I could be wrong, and it could turn out it could work. Anything, because I always believe, and I always say this, each year is different. And next year, he could look at it as, hey, he made these adjustments. But what's to say that Albrecht and Raheem's going to stay? I mean, it's so much
that's
that goes
a great
into
point.
It.
Now,
what if something better comes?
I don't know.
You know, I mean,
because it could.
It could.
It could, because, I mean, technically neither one of those guys is actually the defensive coordinator right now. Dan Quinn still, by title on the website, is the defensive coordinator. I know those guys are calling the plays, and Ulbrich is acting as the coordinator, Morris working with the secondary. One of those guys is going to want that title, and I think that that's fine, but which one?
Which one
do you
exactly
give it to?
Exactly.
Do they make co-defensive coordinators? Do they make the same amount of money? Like, that's when it gets difficult trying to retain these guys, because I mean, let's be fair about it. If that's what you're pointing to about what fixed the season, mm-hmm. then those two guys feel like they fixed the season.
Yeah.
And they both want credit for it.
Can I get mine?
All right.
Can I get my extra comma? I mean, that's how it can be, man. So, but, I mean, I understand the players. They love Dan. They do it. And you should. He seems like he's a fun dude to play for. But winning is more fun than my love for a coach. You know what I'm saying? It is. I mean, this is a result-oriented business. And the player, if you are in this profession, which I was blessed to be in for over 10 years, you sign up for wins, you sign up for dollars. You know what I'm saying? You can go in either order, but that's what you sign up for when you come to the NFL. You sign up for wins, you sign up for dollars. You know what I'm saying? But they're making plenty of dollars, this ain't playing no wins.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I said, if this last year, if this was like last year they make the playoffs, and this kind of turns around you have this year. But last year was just horrible. Yes, I know they had injuries and everything. And you fired the coordinator and said, I'm going to fix number 44 and number 98. I'm going to take over defense, and this is what's going to get right about it.
You also have to think about it from the owner perspective, right? Arthur Blank spent $1 billion and some public money, but spent a lot of money building that nice new house over there. Right?
Yeah.
This is the third season they've played in that building.
It's sharp, too.
Now, it's great. And they've had national championships in there and Super Bowls and mm-hmm. all kinds of great stuff has been in there. Mm-hmm. Falcons haven't played a big game in there yet.
They have not.
Falcons, tomorrow will be the 24th home game, the Falcons, regular season home game the Falcons have played in that building.
Mm-hmm.
If they win on Sunday,
what's their record going to be, Andy?
Then their record will be 12-12.
Yes.
If they lose, then their home record over three seasons is under 500.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be, if you're a good football team. Good football teams go 6-2 on the road and 500 on, or 6-2 at home and 500 on the road, right? You go 10-6 or so. Maybe if you're better than that, you go 7-1 or 8-0 at home. A home field advantage is a number of different things. It's the crowd, sure. The crowd's going to show up if you're winning. It's also just easier to win at home because you don't have to travel and all that stuff. Like it's a friendly building. Like teams traditionally have better winning percentages at home because they're at home. To have a 500 record and try to validate keeping anyone's job doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't get it, man. I don't. And we don't know how this thing is going to go down a week from Monday, you know, as far as after they get back from Tampa, what's going to be his decision. Because, I mean, I thought his decision is made. I still do think his decision is made. But, dude, there's some doubts about that because it just seems like it seems like it goes away from what Arthur Blank wants. Remember we talked to Wes yesterday?
Yeah.
And I was asking him the difference between the end of the Mike Smith regime and the Mike's and then this Dan Quinn, you know, and basically he was saying the Mike Smith, it seemed like everything, you did all you can do. Does Arthur Blank feel like Dan Quinn and this regime, there's still more to do?
That's a really great question.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like the Dan Quinn regime is capable of doing more than it's done? Let's get back to that in 15 minutes. because they got to win on Sunday to get back to 500 for the last three seasons. If they win on Sunday, that's 5-2 in the second half of the year. We'll get some keys to the game, but also try to answer that question as well. If Mike Smith's regime came to an end because they felt like they had achieved everything they could,
right?
Do you feel like Dan Quinn's regime has achieved everything they could, or can they get better than this? We'll get back to that coming up in 15 minutes.
Really did a good job. Donovan and Mitchell ends up with 30 points, but I thought Cam, you know, made him work and made him work from start to finish. You know, Gobert was just he was a handful for us. The big offensive rebound and dunk at the end kind of summed it all up.
Yeah, I think Lloyd Pierce is absolutely right there about that basketball game last night.
That was a push-off.
Yeah, he was a little aggressive down there in the paint.
Nah, he's a little boy, boy. Get out of here, little boy.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that when you're a big, tough guy and you've won
Get out of here, little boy.
Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row like Rudy Gobert has. He also had a great block on a DeAndre Hunter take to the rim at the end of the game as well. Real clean block as well. You have that? Well, we can listen to it.
Now DeAndre Hunter has him. Mitchell dropped it, picked it up, threw it back outside, and the three-point try is no good, but Gobert just pushed off, and he got the rebound and jammed. No call. Oh, my goodness.
That's strange. Steve has the same opinion about it as you do, Randy.
Wow.
Hard to imagine that that would be the case. Look, he's right. Gobert is being physical down there. You can be physical in the fourth quarter of a basketball game, can't you?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
who did he bully, by the way? Was it it was Alex Len, wasn't it?
He's like, get out of here, little boy.
Yeah. The Hawks don't have, in my opinion, a starting NBA center
on
their
roster. They don't. They don't. And I know everybody, let's go get Drummond. Let's go get Steven. I get all that. I got you. Not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the offseason?
Sure.
Okay.
Because Drummond's going to be a free agent.
Yeah, Drummond's going to be a free agent. And it don't guarantee he's going to sign back with you. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
But, I mean, he would be a perfect center here.
He would be.
He'd be perfect.
Doesn't need the ball.
Yep.
Great rebounder. Good shot blocker.
He'd be perfect.
Gets his, 17 points a game on putbacks, mm-hmm. a lot of that.
Until we go against Joel Embiid.
And then Joel Embiid comes in and, well.
He owns him.
Handles him. Which would be a problem because, I mean, ideally, you're going to have to go through those guys in the playoffs if you get to that level. I don't know if that can be the determining factor in whether or not you bring in a big free agent to the team or not, but I'm with you. I think you addressed that in the offseason. I did like seeing Cam Reddish play the game that he played last night, play well, was assertive, hit some open shots. I also like Lloyd Pierce kind of just throwing him to the wolves in the fourth quarter and saying, try to go stop Donovan
Mitchell. You got to learn, youngin. So just put him out there, let him do his thing, man. And, I mean, who is right now going forward? This is my question to you and the listeners, whoever. Who going forward is the most important Hawk right now? Not named Trae Young.
Oh. John Collins?
No, I should say, not without excluding those two guys.
Okay.
Who's the most important going forward?
DeAndre Hunter?
You think DeAndre Hunter?
Or Cam Reddish? Okay. Kind of a toss-up?
I'm curious, because I like DeAndre. I think DeAndre Hunter's going to be fine. But I think this team, if Cam lives up to his potential, I think this
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like the ceiling for DeAndre Hunter probably isn't as high as Cam Reddish. But the floor also isn't as low. You know DeAndre is going to be in there. He's going to be a good, productive
basketball
contributor
player
in the NBA.
Yes.
Defense, open threes, all that kind of stuff. Cam Reddish could be your best player.
Yeah,
could
that's what
be.
I'm saying. I think, Cam has boom or bust potential.
Yeah,
could we do that?
Could be on
that.
A different team.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know.
Right. No, I'm with you. That's a great point. And it was fun to see what Cam was able to do last night.
Oof. Silent night, holy night, always calm, always bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Well, that's bad.
Holy infant so tender.
You don't recognize the voice?
Is that you?
No, not me.
Oh, that ain't me?
No, I know it's not you.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that was one of them nights that I don't remember.
It's Dave Wannstad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was I singing that? Was he singing at the Christmas party?
He was singing that on TV.
Oh, okay. All right. Whew.
We just wanted to, because you sang yesterday. We just wanted to compare who was better.
I didn't get a chance to sing.
I'm not disappointed. Yes, you did. All right, we'll come back. We'll give you our takeaways of the day.
That's right on key.
Get it, Randy?
Really, Jack?
I think you're better than Wannstad.
Yeah. But I didn't even get to my part, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, what's your part?
When Blue come in there with that.
Boy, Blue, please.
Oh. Well, yeah, when Blue come in there.
I think, I mean.
Eddie set it off so right. And then Blue come in. Argh! It's woo. Gives you chills.
We could probably do that later some point.
But this is why I hate when like Christmas is like a Tuesday or something right now, because why does it feel like today is Christmas Eve and we ain't got to work next week?
I know.
Yeah. We'll be up here Monday.
Yep. And Tuesday.
And Tuesday.
And Thursday.
I got some new Christmas t-shirts too.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be looking like an elf tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come back and get to the Lunchtime Falcons report.
Going to one of her parties.
You got to dress up like an elf?
Yeah, dress up. She bought me some socks.
Ears?
I ain't wearing no damn ears.
All right. Lunchtime Falcons report coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I'm Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can't imagine, Ron. Is Ron Rivera going to go for this? Yep, here comes Arma and Manhurts, the two tight ends. McCaffrey gets the ball right side, and he's not going to get it. Atlanta shuts the door with Big 97 out of Conyers America leading the charge.
You shall not pass, says Grady Jarrett.
It's time for the Lunchtime Falcon Report with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
20 minutes away from Sports Jeopardy, Wendy Adams says she can still take some sports trivia questions at Wendy Radio on Twitter or on Instagram. Send the direct message. Send the answer to the question as well. We'll play Sports Jeopardy coming up in 20 minutes, but it's time for the Lunchtime Falcons Report, and we'll get to some keys to the game. One of the keys to the game probably could be Grady Jarrett doing some more of that on Sunday, getting to the quarterback and getting him on the ground. That's always going to be a good one. We'll get to the keys in a minute. I did want to follow up on that question that you asked to Wes Durham yesterday, and the answer that Wes gave, and then apply it to Dan Quinn. Because you asked Wes Durham yesterday, what was the difference between when the Mike Smith era came to an end and the way things feel right now with Dan Quinn? And what he said about the end of the Mike Smith era was it just was sort of a feeling that he was having, and it seemed like a lot of other people were having, that they had achieved what they could achieve.
Right.
That it just, whatever.
It ran,
was going to happen.
It ran its course.
Yeah, it ran its course. Exactly. Right. The message was stale, whatever. Like, they had done what they could do. And he wasn't so sure that was the feeling with Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Because the message doesn't seem to get
stale. No, the message isn't stale.
It's not.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
But do you feel like the group has accomplished what it can? Like, the best may be behind them?
That's the key. Because you still got Matt Ryan, you know, about to go for 4,000 9th Street. You still got Julio over 1,000. Got Ridley coming back. I mean, you got parts. You got parts to be a very good football team. But do you have the right football mind to put the parts that are not there in place? You know what I'm saying? So do you got the right guys that are evaluating this talent and putting it where it can help Matt Ryan and Julio and these guys get over that hump? No?
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. And the reason is in large part because of what you just said. Like, they were really close a few years ago, and then they were less close the next year, and they've been really far away the last couple of years. So you're trending in the wrong direction, but you've had that great compilation of talent the whole time. Like, there's been some different pieces, and some guys have left, and some guys have been traded, and some guys have come on, but we've never gone into a year in the Dan Quinn era, especially not since the Super Bowl year, where we said, oh, man, the talent just isn't quite there here, or they just don't quite have it there. Now, maybe we should have said that on the offensive line the last couple of years, and maybe we should have said that on the pass rush this year.
Right.
But again, that's a decision that was made by him. The reason that I don't feel confident in it, and maybe you can tell me if this is true other places, I don't remember it being true on teams that I've covered to the extent that it seems true with Dan Quinn's teams. Man, we focus a lot on coordinators. We talk a lot about coordinators with the Dan Quinn era. Whether it was Kyle Shanahan being the reason for the success, whether Sark coming in couldn't figure it out, couldn't do it right, Marquand Manuel getting fired at the end of the year last year, having to replace himself as coordinator midway through this year and have these two new guys take over the defense. And like, how many good coaches do we talk so much about their coordinators as much as we talk about Dan Quinn's? Like, usually good coaches were just like, all right, he's the coach, so we trust it.
Yeah.
With Dan Quinn, it's like, well, if he can get somebody in here to do this, that's not a good sign for him.
And back to what you were just saying, Bug, most time we talk about coaches and their coordinators in a good light is when they're getting a new job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Moving on to being a head coach or whatever that is. It's going to be – and that's the thing. Do you keep everything in pack? When I say in pack, do you keep – Dirk Cutter's OC, even though it might have been a comfortable hire? Do you keep – I mean, it's so many ifs to it that if you retain him, that's why I said, how are you going to sell this fan base when you're bringing back everybody that, you know, that helped turn out the product that they did last year – this past year, I'm sorry. You can't. That's why somebody's got to go. That's why you've got to go, because if it doesn't happen, then, you know, you're in trouble.
Well, yeah. I mean, the selling to the fan base would be impossible if you keep everybody together.
Right.
But, I mean, look, I'm sorry. The second half of the season is good and all of that, but 7-9 back-to-back seasons and not going to the playoffs, there was a lot of fans that were out on Dan Quinn before this, like years ago. So the easy argument to that, though, is win some games and the fans will be sold. I mean, I'm the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not evaluating Dan Quinn on whether or not I like him. I do like him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good dude and a good coach in some ways. I'm evaluating him on the record and the fact that you're not getting to the playoffs for multiple years and the fact that you have to win on Sunday to get back to 500 at home over the last three seasons.
That's crazy.
That's not good enough.
But it's not even that, Andy. Just look at some of the teams that they lost. We were doing that in the bullpen. Like the teams that Buffalo team, that Miami Dolphin team, just ugh. So, I mean.
The Jaguars this Sunday, maybe?
I mean, I don't know. I think they'll win. I know I came in this morning and said they'll lose. They should win this game.
Okay.
They should.
How? Let's get to some keys to the game. How do they go about doing it on Sunday? I got a handful of things written down.
They got pressure Gardner Minshew, mm-hmm. of course. Run the football. You know, the Jacksons, they can rush the pass, but they're one of the worst teams in the league at stopping the run, so why not do that? And then I want to see the development of the young guys. Just keep on continuing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Did you see they ran like a goal line short yardage package last weekend down in San Fran with big backs? Allison running
and
in,
it scored, and it what do you know? It scored a touchdown.
How about that?
That's the third time Allison's done that,
how about that?
In the second half of the season.
How about that?
Dan Quinn spoke about Gardner Minshew and what he can do earlier in the week.
Man, this is a very good competitor, and you see that boldness in his play. It breaks out of the pocket, can extend plays with his feet, you know, rip a ball down the field, you know, kind of staring in the face of a blitz at the end of the game to, you know, throw a ball in for a touchdown, you know, on back-to-back plays. You know, one got broken up, another blitz came right to him. And so there has to be some boldness, you know, for quarterback when you know what's coming and you got to hold on to it, you know, just till the receiver breaks open and they made a really good play on it.
Yeah, I think Grady has to be really big on Sunday because what Dan Quinn's saying is, right, he'll stand in there and take a hit. He's been very accurate, Minshew has only thrown 5 interceptions this season to 17 touchdowns. And he can kind of move around a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's
he ain't no stiff.
He's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
But he can move around in the pocket and extend the play a little. If you can collapse the pocket on him, and especially if Grady can get that push up the middle, the thing that he isn't is very big.
No,
he's not a very tall quarterback. So if you can get him collapsed in there and trapped in there, and he has to try to throw the ball under duress over the line, mm-hmm. that's an interception waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, again, he'll give you a chance to make plays. He's got to make the play. I think that's any quarterback. I mean, if they give you an opportunity to make a play because you pressured them, then you got to have an opportunity. Last week, as good as Bleedy Ray was, I mean, he should have had like 3 picks mm-hmm. last week. I mean, the balls were hitting him right in the chest, right in the hands. If that's the case, then you got to make it. You got to make that play. And we know there's not going to be a home field advantage or nothing like that, but for the people that are there, give them something to cheer about.
Sure.
Give them something to cheer
sure.
about.
I mean, it'll get loudish.
It'll get loudish.
Not as loud as it can be when it's full, because it's not going to be full, and there's no reason to lie to people about that. The team's not very good, and it's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
It's not going to be a ton of people in the building on Sunday.
Yes.
This stat remains true. We had some fun with this the other week. It remains true, and I hope it continues to be true. Falcons are undefeated this season in games where Vic Beasley has at least one sack.
Uh-huh.
I know you and I and everyone else out there wants Vic Beasley to get at least one sack this weekend. It would be great if he got 3 because that would get him to 10. But wouldn't it be more fun if he only got 2?
I told you, dude.
So
9.5.
Yeah, 2.5.
2.5.
Get 2.5 sacks on Gardner Minshew.
Yes.
And then so he goes into week 17 needing half a sack against Jameis Winston in order for Mike Bell to have to get the butt tattoo.
How great is that?
It would be, and it's funny because Mike Bell's not here this week.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some fun with this on Monday, but that story has sort of died down a little because Mike's not here to have to defend himself.
Yes. Yeah.
Let Vic Beasley get 2.5 sacks while Mike's on vacation.
Oh, that'd be
so he
so
has
great.
To come back from vacation with 9.5 sacks to deal with on Monday.
That'd be so great.
It'd be so great.
It'd be so great because Mike would be sweating bullets.
He would be. I mean, because he was dang. And he's going to do it because he said he was going to do it. And Mike's a man of not bet welching. But he doesn't want to.
Yeah. I got a funny tweet the other day. Somebody tweeted me saying that because they had put Vic Patak on IR and everything.
Uh-huh.
Said, does this mean he still has to cut his hair?
Yeah.
No, well, he didn't finish the season.
He didn't have 10 sacks.
Could have got 9. Well, I mean,
how many does he have?
How many does he have?
Three, I think. He got 3 this season?
Yeah.
3.5, something like that?
3.
So, yeah, he's got to cut his hair. I mean, he absolutely has to cut
his
hair.
The season.
Oh, so there's an asterisk next to it? Okay.
He could have got 10.
He might have. You never know. He really could have had a really good final 2 games of the season. Hopefully, Vic can get to the quarterback because, again, the Falcons have won every single game, all 5 of their wins. Vic Beasley has a sack. The other reason that Mike Bell made that bet, though, I think, was because he didn't believe he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he did get double-digit sacks, that would probably mean that the Falcons were good enough to make a run. That's going to be the worst part of it.
That's the worst part.
The Falcons are not in the playoffs,
and he gets
and he still has to get the butt tattoo? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Give us all something to be happy about. Couple other things that I'd like to see on Sunday. Just throw it to Julio a bunch.
Yeah.
It worked out great last weekend.
Yeah,
throw it to him 20 times
is
again.
Boye still that good? Well, it don't matter. Boye, he's a good player, but he ain't Julio stopping.
Throw it to him as many times as you possibly can. And this is obvious every week, but especially as good as the Jaguars are. Get into the quarterback. Protect Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Want to see Lindstrom and McGarry do more of what they did last week, maybe even better. Because they're 6th in the NFL in sacks, Jacksonville is.
Right.
And they got 13 different guys on their team that have recorded a sack this season.
Okay.
So.
Well, according to Hugh Douglas, who was listening, and we do appreciate you, he said, no, bro, he got to cut his hair.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Absolutely he does.
Okay.
Like, maybe you can make the asterisk argument if he had 9 sacks
right.
and missed the final 3 games of
right.
the season to say
right.
he could have got. Nah, he's got like 3 sacks.
Okay.
Tech McKinley's got to cut his hair. Now, I don't care one way or the other. Sure. I'm not going to sit here and be like, cut your hair. And be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he said he was going to.
He did say that, but I doubt he cuts it. Because
really?
I'm thinking he's going to look at it as like, hey, man, I got injured with 3 games. Because he got injured early in the game on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So he could have had, how many does he have?
I don't know. I haven't even looked it up.
I don't know.
3, probably?
Yeah, he could have had 8 or something.
Could have.
Maybe.
You do that read, I'll look it up.
All right, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. With our guys Harry Douglas and Paul Crane.
Woo!
And they will, they will preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup, that being of Jacksonville. Countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light, because it's brewed for the Dirty Birds.
3.5.
3.5 sacks?
He's got 3.5 sacks.
So he could have got 6.
And a half.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Sports Jeopardy coming up next. We'll also make our weekend picks against the spread. You could do it. I mean, Wendy's
coming in.
Are you going to come in, or did you?
I don't know. She's still upset with
us. We'll have to find out.
She's still upset with
After this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Friday. 20 minutes away from getting back into what's trending. Brian Baldinger going to join us at 1:20 from NFL.com. He's our radio.com insider as well. One thing that happens around here sometimes is, you know, the computers don't work. And everyone has their own different way of dealing with it. Brian Gebhardt screams at it, and I can hear him through the glass sometimes screaming at it. Randy just taps on the mouse over and over and over again. Until it does something. Oh, looks like you've unplugged the mouse this time.
Yeah, I unplugged this damn mouse because it don't work.
This is the first video for Raging Randy YouTube channel, and I'm currently filming it.
The Raging Randy YouTube channel has a chance to be very successful.
I'm telling you, I'm putting this one. This is the first video on YouTube. This is great. Randy, keep going. I need you to rant some more.
Hello, Wendy. All right, I'm going to make some picks here for the weekend, and then Wendy probably can too, and then maybe Randy will have fixed his computer by then.
I'll go
first, though, just because you guys are busy. So I'm going to pick college games first. We got a couple bowl games tomorrow. I think Boise State's going to beat Washington. They're 3-point underdogs. They're going to beat UW. UW's not good, and it's going to hurt the entire time. Appalachian State's going to cover the 16.5 against UAB. I think Buffalo... They're underdog 6.5 to New England at New England on Sunday. Or no, that's tomorrow as well. I think the Bills are going to cover that 6.5.
Okay.
And I think the Falcons, who are favored by 7, are going to win by more than 7 points on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. For the first time all season, I am betting with the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, it's going to be easier for me to do my picks because you picked 3 of the games that I picked.
Really?
The exact ones.
We
so
did
yes.
that last time.
Crazy, but I have one different game. But yeah, I have Boise State covering the 3 versus Washington, App State, the 16.5 at UAB,
yep.
The Bills covering that 6.5 versus the Patriots. And I have the Ravens and the 9.5 at the Browns. I just feel like that one's a really simple one. I don't know why, but it's Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it's the Browns. Like Randy says, the Browns will be the Browns until they're no longer the Browns. Hey,
Randy, would you like me to help?
Okay, I need somebody, because I don't unplug this mouse.
Oh, you unplugged the mouse now.
I figured out, I found out how to plug up the other computer, so I'm right now, I'm up the creek. But anyway, I'm going Washington +3 over Boise. Mm-hmm. I'm going App -17 UAB. I am taking Buffalo to 6.5 versus the Pats. And KC's -6 over the Bears.
So wait, did you take Boise or Washington?
I took both. No, I took Washington.
Washington's favored.
Huh? Washington +3.
-3.
Yeah, Washington's favorite.
Yeah, Washington's favorite.
Oh, Washington's favorite? Yeah. I thought Boise was
the
favorite.
Yeah, Boise's the underdog.
So I'll take Boise +3 then.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, smart pick. All right, let's play some Sports Jeopardy. No, you guys are right.
Leave me alone. Quit putting the camera in my face.
That's the first.
It's like paparazzi here at work.
Well, it's going to be the first video on my $26 million YouTube channel called Raging Randy.
Raging Randy about to throw some stuff in here. How much these computers cost? Write this thing off. I'm about to break it.
You could afford to break that computer.
I'm about to break this.
That'd be so funny if you did that.
Oh, this is great. Can you do that for the YouTube channel?
Do it in the break. Let's play Sports Jeopardy first.
No, Andy, this is great. We're going to be millionaires.
What am I supposed to do while you're doing this?
I'm fine. It's fine. I'll just keep the camera rolling.
I'll just read my manifesto.
All right.
Are you ready?
Your names are your buzzers, and the listeners were not nice.
Randy.
Andy.
Those are your buzzers. That's correct. The listeners were not nice because these questions, some of them are more difficult than others, but we're going to try because it's listener participation.
I think we can do it. We're pretty smart.
Sure. All right. How many bowl games are taking place for the 2019-20 season? Bowl season.
20 what?
How many bowl games in total?
How many bowl games total?
Randy. 47.
Not 47.
Andy, 41?
41 bowl games. Andy is off to the early lead.
Told you I was smart. Mm-hmm. Mom.
All right, that's one.
I wasn't calling you mom. That was repressed from childhood.
That's fine. Okay. Where will the Winter Olympics be held next year?
Randy.
In the snow.
The Winter Olympics will be held in Utah.
Not in Utah. That is incorrect.
I don't know.
Really?
No, I really don't.
Okay.
Alaska.
Andy.
Yes, Andy.
Sweden.
No, Beijing.
Beijing. I was going to say China.
I was not.
Should have said China.
Way off. What NBA player scored the most points in a single Christmas Day game?
Randy.
Ooh, that was tied, but Randy,
he goes first. He doesn't know.
I don't.
He's just going to guess. So am I.
Probably the most points ever on Christmas.
In a single Christmas Day game.
Kobe.
It was not Kobe.
Carmelo Anthony.
Both of you guys are incorrect. It was Bernard King.
Bernard King. Of course it was.
60 points.
Of course it was.
Playing for the Bullets or the Knicks? Doesn't matter.
Wendy, leave me alone and get that camera out my face.
I'll just put it right here.
She's still filming you?
Yeah, she's still filming me. Leave me alone.
It's a YouTube channel, Andy. Stop judging.
Wendy's really trying to make this $26 million.
When Raging Ranty takes... Raging Ranty.
Raging Ranty. That actually makes
actually
sense.
Perfect, too. When it takes off, y'all don't get a cut. All right. This is coming from the movie Rocky. Which pro wrestling superstar played a character
Randy.
In
Andy.
Fight?
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan is...
Thunderlips.
Rocky 3.
Thunderlips.
I wouldn't have known.
In the flesh, baby.
So now we are tied at one.
Ultimate Man versus the Ultimate... Was it Shrimp? Or what did he say?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Great. I'm sorry.
I have no idea. All right. What is the average recruiting class ranking of UGA since Kirby Smart
Randy.
Became head coach?
Is it 3?
3 is correct. Yeah, okay. The average is 3. So now Randy leads it 2-1. Who is the only quarterback to win MVP and miss the playoffs in the same season?
Randy. Oh, God. Come on, Randy. You know this. You know this, Randy. You know it. I don't know it. Boomer Esiason.
Not Boomer.
That
was a good guess.
That was going to be my guess.
Yeah. Here comes Sean. Okay, Sean, we don't know the answer yet. Go away. We haven't said the answer yet, Sean.
Joe Namath.
Nope, Johnny United.
Johnny United. Johnny U. Of course it was.
Of course. It was him.
Of course it was Johnny United. In honor of the Celebration Bowl, who was the Alcorn State quarterback?
Andy. Steve McNair?
Yes,
Steve
easy.
McNair is now with the distinction of being the highest drafted pick.
The only Alcorn State quarterback I know.
We are now tied at two apiece.
The Ultimate Meatball, that's what it was. Thank you.
Ultimate Meatball.
Versus the Ultimate Meatball.
2-2.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. Of all the Super Bowl matchups, which one cannot be repeated?
Randy.
Oh.
The
This is a great question.
That is a great question.
Which one can't be repeated?
Which one cannot be repeated?
The Chargers versus the 49ers? Because the Chargers are in Los Angeles now?
That is not correct.
The Baltimore Colts versus the Jets?
Yes. Yes.
Because the Baltimore Colts don't exist anymore?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
That's a really good question. I'm thinking because they're the Los Angeles Chargers. They're not the San Diego Chargers.
That's a good point. Technically, he's right.
Technically, they're the Los Angeles Chargers.
Because the Baltimore Colts are the Indianapolis Colts, right? I know they moved to, but whatever. So technically, Randy's right.
Technically, I am right.
You said versus the 49ers.
Yeah, you can never have that matchup again because it would never be the San Diego Chargers. It was the San Diego Chargers versus the San Francisco 49ers.
St. Louis now, Rams versus the Patriots can never happen again.
It can't. It'd be but L.A.
It was in the – oh, boy.
Huh.
I don't know, guys. Why? Why?
I don't know. It's more fun when we make it less fun.
Yes.
Yes. You really do. Just let me. Yes.
Go ahead.
Fine. Everyone's tied up at three. You both get a point.
All right, fine enough. Fair enough. All
right. What NFL team won the first NFL championship game that was held in 1932?
Randy.
The Browns.
Not the Browns.
The In 1932, was it the, you said the Browns, was it the Cardinals?
Not the Cardinals, Chicago Bears.
Oh,
God, I was just going to say
Chicago
that.
Chicago Bears, monsters of the Midway.
God dog it.
All right, this will be our last question, and you guys should know it because you talked about it today on the show at some point.
What nudes.
Andy, nudes.
Both of y'all are losers. I'm just kidding.
That's true.
What is the Falcons record at home?
Randy.
11-12. 11-12. Randy wins. Sorry, Andy.
Nudes. Thank you, Wendy.
You guys are so welcome.
Thank you, Wendy.
I'm so glad it's Friday.
Hey, Wendy, want to come back in an hour for the AMA segment?
No, I'm really
she
busy.
Is coming back in.
I know. Well,
I know. I'm really busy.
I hope she does.
Yeah. She's been really disappointed. But thank you, Wendy. But we know what won't disappoint you. It is our fourth annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship that's coming back on Saturday. January 25th is going to be a Stars and Strikes over at Sandy Springs. 128 people compete for cash prizes, including the Game Bowl champion winning $1,000. Entry is free and it started today. So make sure y'all go into our events page at 99thegame.com and make sure y'all register.
And the reason why that matchup cannot happen because they are both now in the AFC, so they could not match up.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
It's not the city
it's
location.
It's not the city location.
Okay,
it's
so I was right. So we tied. Technically, I didn't lose.
Well, whatever.
So I tied.
I mean, is that important to you?
It is. Okay. We'll come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour, half an hour away from Brian Baldinger. All right, we'll be back.
Pat on the head.
Nudes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.